So if you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 12 this morning. Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter 12. I got a little horse. I think it was pulling kids around with a four-wheeler out in the snow. You got to have fun. We weren't going anywhere. I knew we'd at least have a few here this morning. I'll tell you how I knew that. Because Polk sent out a thing tonight to ask who all want to play ball. I mean, it was still snowing. I mean, it was piling up deep. Nobody had been down that road. And I was like, yeah, me and Isaac come. We'll make it. How many we have show up? Nine? Nine people? So I knew. I said, I know one thing for sure. We'll have at least nine people at church. Because if they can make it to play ball, they can make it to church. Amen? So here we are. If you have your Bible, Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter number 12. I love this passage in the Scriptures. I believe it's one of the deepest and richest chapters that you could study. You could spend a lot of time right here searching and finding what God is saying to us. I believe there is a message here not only for the Israelites, but it was also for us in this day and age. The Bible in Exodus chapter 12 starts off in verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it, according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You should take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the fruitness thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until morning. Of that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses wherein you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be to you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Father, we thank you for the word of God this morning. Thankful for the opportunity to preach. Thankful for the opportunity to preach Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and risen again. We're thankful, God, that in the pages of Scriptures, whether it be in Genesis, whether it be in Revelation, we see your precious Son as the Lamb of God that come to this world to die for fallen humanity. Father, I'm thankful for the promises here today, and I'm thankful for the message that we find. And I pray if there's someone here that's never been saved by the grace of God, never experienced the wonderful work of regeneration in their heart, I pray today will be the day that by faith they trust you. And we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, this, I believe, was the day of deliverance. In fact, that's what I would call it, the day of deliverance for the people of God. In fact, this chapter is probably the heart of the book of Exodus. If you study the book of Exodus, you come to it, this chapter here, I believe, is what anchors the message of the book of Exodus down. And you see, I believe this, that in all reality, the message of redemption is found here for all of God's people. And so we can anchor our faith down here in Exodus chapter number 12. Moses, from the burning bush, looked forward to this day. Do you know that? God called him and spoke to him and told him he was going back to Egypt to deliver his people out of Egyptian bondage. Moses, with anticipation, with expectation, realized one day that he was going to be put in a place where God would deliver his people. And so Moses, by faith, through all the plagues, through all the confrontations with Pharaoh, we see that it was this day that Moses was striving for. We see two great themes here. We see the stubborn will of man rejecting the sovereign plan of God here. You see, God spoke to Pharaoh and said, "Listen, let my people go." And yet he refused, and hence Pharaoh was hardened. May I say to you today, you can reject the message of God, but it's not going to help you. It's going to push you farther and farther away from God. And you're not proving anything today. I want to tell you right, he is the rock of our salvation, but he'll also be the rock that crushes you if you reject the opportunity that God lays before you here within the Scriptures. You'll find that, I want to say to you, that you'll find this is the ultimate culmination of the day that Moses had longed for. And we see a picture here that was an ultimate culmination of a particular day that we find on Mount Calvary. It was the very day that Jesus Christ became the Lamb of God to die as a sinless sacrifice for you and for me. In fact, D.L. Moody said, this chapter was one of the most important chapters in the Bible. That's what Moody said. And you see, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 said this. He said that Christ is our Passover lamb sacrificed for us. So may I say to you, it's clear and it's sound theology, it's sound exegesis to say that this lamb and these lambs pictured Jesus Christ in type. Amen? There's no question about that. We find that I want to say to you today, I want you to notice the first of months. The first of months. Notice verse 1 and 2. The Bible said, "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be to you the beginning of months." What's getting ready to happen here on this day? You mark your calendar. This is a new beginning. This is a new era. This is a new time for the people of God. That's what he's telling them. That's what he's instructing them. It shall be the first month of the year to you. So you mark it down by this. And you say, why is this? Because you see, it was a time of deliverance. It was a time that they were going to be delivered by the blood of a lamb. Now, I want to say this today. I believe there's a message in that. That the blood marks a new beginning in the years of Egypt. You see, those former years in Egypt means nothing now. Why? Because of the blood of the lamb, they have a new beginning. Does that make sense? They have a new beginning because of the blood of the Lamb. And so, here's what I want to say to you. F.B. Meyer, he said, "Our life before conversion is not reckoned with God." Here's what I believe this. I believe the moment we get saved, we are made white and pure as the driven snow, don't you? I believe we are washed in the blood of the Lamb, amen. And you say, how does that blood keep you clean? Man, that blood, it saves me, secures me, keeps me clean, and that by the power of that blood, I can live for Him day by day, amen. I want you to understand that when we look here in the Word of God, we are washed. We are saved by the blood. It says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." It says, "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood," Revelation 1:5. You'll find in the book of Hebrews, it tells, "Without the shedding of blood," what? "There is no remission of sins." Let me tell you something, I don't care how rotten somebody's been. I don't care how checkered their past has been. I don't care where they've been. I don't care what they've done to somebody. I don't care if they've been to jail. I don't care if they've been a crook. I don't care if they've been a sorry dad, a sorry mom. Listen to me. If they truly get regenerated by the Spirit of God and born again, let me tell you something, brother. They're as pure as the driven snow. Amen. It is a moment, a new beginning. Amen. Thank God. It's a new beginning for them. The old life not reckoned by God, been saved by the grace of God. Man, there's people you meet all the time and you look at the state that they're in and they say, I wish I could have a new beginning, but I can't go back and unchange anything. No, you can't. But there's still yet one who can give you a new beginning. There's one who can put a marked difference and say, this day right here is going to be a new beginning for you. Amen. And when that happens, it happens at the moment you trust Jesus Christ by faith for the remission of your sins. You see, I'm thankful for that. Amen. I'm thankful that the blood has never lost its power. All right. Nicodemus comes to you. What? He said, listen, what can a man do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told you must be born again. And Nicodemus must have had a funny look on his face because Nicodemus, Jesus said, marvel not. I believe Jesus said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus was like, what's he talking about? He says, marvel not, Nicodemus. He said, what's born of the flesh is flesh, and what's born of the Spirit is spirit. Let me tell you, dear friends, there is a physical birth and there's a spiritual birth. And the truth of the matter is, you didn't have anything to do with your physical birth, really. Listen, when it comes to being born again, you don't save yourself either. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ alone. Listen, I say to you right here, we find here, not only do we see the first of months, but I want you to notice the faith in the blood. The Bible says, and I didn't mean to preach that long, but I did. The Bible says, speak unto the congregation of Israel, saying the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers. A lamb for a house. And if a household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next in his house take it according to the number of souls. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I want you to understand the household may be too little for the lamb, but the lamb's never been too little for the household. I love that. He said, listen, if the lamb's too much for your household, you go get your neighbor's household, amen, and put them together. And you do that. Now, he spoke of deliverance from judgment. Notice he says your lamb should be without blemish. It's got to be a male the first year. You can take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you should keep it up to the 14th day of the same month. And when is that? The Passover. And that the Jews still yet celebrate. When was Jesus slain? Right before the Passover. Amen. He is our Passover lamb for us. And he says, listen, and he says, you take the blood and strike it on two posts, on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat. And you'll find in verse 22, here's how they would do it. They would take a bunch of hyssop. Hyssop was just a common, ordinary plant that grew everybody around everywhere. Everybody knew what hyssop was. They wasn't nothing special. I've seen hyssop. It looks just like a weed to me. Nothing special about hyssop, but you're to take the hyssop and dip it in the blood that's in the basin for the lamb, in verse 22, and you strike it up on the little, and not only do you strike it up on the little, the Bible says, but on the two side posts, and you put the blood there. Now, why was that? You put it up here at top, and then you put it right here on the door. And you see, you know what that was? That was public identification, amen. There was no secrecy. Let me just tell you this. I believe someone truly gets born again, someone gets covered by the blood, they ain't no hiding it. I don't believe you can hide it. It'll come out. People were recognized, and it was a statement. Here we are. We're trusting in the blood. And so the deliverance from judgment was dependent upon their faith to do what God told them to do. And what was that faith in? They're thinking, what's going to save me? It's me put my faith that this blood somehow is going to secure me when judgment passes through the land. Think about that. You know what saves me and you today? Let me tell you, judgment's going to pass one day throughout the world. It's coming to every man. The only thing that will save us is our faith in the blood. And trust in it. That Jesus life for our life. Jesus in my place. He bore the brunt of the penalty of sin and the wrath of God for me. And so we find faith in the blood. And so let me just tell you, he said, you take it and you make it. It's got to be one of the first year. It's got to be perfect. It's got to be one that's in its prime, is what he's saying, from the first year. Had to be in its prime. But look in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1, verse 18. Let me show you something. The Bible says this about Jesus Christ. Now notice it had to be one that was, the Bible says, you should keep it the 14th day, and you should slay it, you do all those things. It had to be one that was in its first year, but it had to be one without blemish, the Bible says in verse number 5 of Exodus. But you look in the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 1, and verse 18, it says, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't earn your way into heaven. You'll not be able to be in heaven and stand boasting, according to Romans chapter 4, saying, look what I did. I did all this good stuff, and that's why I'm here. You're not, all the money in the world not get you closer to God. It says, as silver and gold from your vain conversation. You see, the Jews believed that those that were truly blessed by God were people that were faithful to give, and the more that they give, the closer they were going to be to God. Sounds like some movements that's out there this day and age. Amen. But that wasn't the case. And it says, now notice this, as silver and gold for your vain conversation, received by the tradition of your fathers. You see, religion's the enemy of the cross. They received the traditions of the Father, but really didn't look into the Word of God. If they don't study Exodus chapter 12, they've seen it wasn't in what they did. And how much they gave to the temple. How many times they fasted, how many alms they gave. It was based upon one who would die for their sins. And verse number 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now he says, for as much you're not redeemed by these things. I don't care what the traditions say of your fathers. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ. As a lamb without blemish, without spot. May I say to you, dear friend, this is who this is we see in the book of Exodus chapter number 12. It was a lamb without blemish and without spot. It is telling us that Jesus Christ is coming to die for fallen humanity. And so what we see here, not only was it perfect, but Christ is the perfect one in the book of Hebrews chapter number 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7. And I might as well go ahead and preach a little longer today. You know why? Because we ain't coming back tonight. Amen. Get all out. Hebrews 7, 25, it says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make his intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. He says, for this he did once when he offered himself. Let me just tell you something, folks. As we look in here in the Word of God, I want to tell you something about Jesus Christ. He is the perfect one. High priests in the Old Testament had offered up sins before they could even... They had to take care of their own sin problem before they could help anybody else. Do you see that? When Jesus came, he didn't have to take care of his own sin problem. He was holy and without blemish. Amen. Amen. He just took his own blood and presented it to God before the throne of God at the mercy seat of God. And God accepted that sacrifice. And because of that, let me tell you, he don't have to go in there week after week and offer up sin for this one or blood for this one or that one. Let me tell you, once and for all it was settled, amen, when Jesus died on Calvary. I'm thankful that God takes care of sin. And so we see here that Christ is the Lamb of God. You'll find in John 1:29 that John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You'll study in Revelation, you'll see Him over and over again as the Lamb of God that has redeemed His people. I'm thankful for the fact that our faith today is settled in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to see this. We see that deliverance was dependent upon faith in a slain lamb, but it was determined by the whole assembly killing it. I want you to notice it was one lamb in the sight of God in Exodus chapter 12. As I read, I kept referring to it. Make sure I enunciated it so you heard it. It. You go down there and you look. It never speaks of the lamb as plural. There would be hundreds of thousands of lambs slain.
if we're talking a few million people, it's untelling. If you go into each household, some households bigger, some are smaller. But I know this, there would have been thousands upon thousands of lambs slain. But it never refers to multiple lambs. It always refers to it in the singular form. Every man a lamb for a house, and the household be too little for the lamb. You shall take it, the Bible says. May count for the lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. And you shall keep it, in verse number 6. You shall kill it, the Bible says in verse 6. And they shall take the blood and strike it, and you'll find eat it. Shall eat it again, in verse number 8. And here's how you prepare. Eat not of it, nor sodden it all with water. And it says, let nothing of it remain. You get the point. This goes on. It. Why does it keep referring to a single lamb? I'll tell you why. Because this lamb, all these lambs, pictured the Lamb of God. The only lamb. They would kill it. And they would strike the doorpost with hyssop. As I said, hyssop was a common plant. And I believe it speaks of the simplicity of salvation by faith. Now let me tell you, I don't believe you go through this, and you all know it's in my pet peeve. Anybody around me knows it. Just 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. Oh, you're on your way to heaven. You don't want to die and go to hell. Oh, no. Well, heaven great? Yes. Here's what you need to do. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, you're good? Let me tell you. I believe in something called Holy Ghost conviction. And we're not selling rainbow vacuum cleaners. If we cheapen and water down the gospel, shame on us. But let me just tell you, you'll find this. I believe when God convicts us, it's easy to believe. I don't believe it's difficult. I don't believe it's hard. I believe someone, if the Spirit of God moves upon them, it's the easiest thing to do. Those things, it's easy to fall off the back of a wagon. It's easy. Let me tell you, to get saved. I believe the simplicity. You say, what do you do? What do you say? You don't have to do anything. You just believe by faith. Amen. And you get saved. Can't make it any easier than that. I mean, I've been in church where they've said, hang on. Somebody said, turn loose. People said, let go. They didn't know what to do, but I've seen them get saved anyway. You say, why was that? Because let me tell you, dear friends, once they put their faith toward the Lord Jesus and that blood, that's good enough with God. And so I say to you, hyssop being a con, he put up on the upper part of the door and on the side. And it pictures the cross. And you say, what's this telling us? There's no place of safety except behind the cross. There's no place you can go other than the cross. And you'll find, as you study the Word of God, you'll find in verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Let me tell you, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. The Bible says, as you look here in verse number 8 through 11, here's another thing. They were to feed upon the lamb. That's amazing, this. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast it with fire, and unleavened bread, and bitter herbs, they shall eat it. He says, eat not of it raw. You couldn't have it medium rare. Couldn't have it rare. He said, nor sodden all with water. Now, you ain't going to boil it in water. You're not going to eat it rare. It is to taste the full blunt of the fire. It is to go through the fire and to feel the total effect of the fire. Why is that? Because fire speaks of judgment. Let me tell you, when Jesus went to the cross and He gave His back to be plowed across with the cat of nine tails and flesh ripped upon Him, punched in the face, the crown of thorns buried deep in His brow, His head struck, and you just find the abuse and nailed to that cross. Let me tell you something. He didn't just suffer a little. He suffered in great agony, amen. He went through the whole gamut of suffering for you and me. Amen. And this lamb, let me tell you something, it was the taste of the fire, the Bible says. And on that, they were to consume it. And you say, why is that? They were to consume it. They were to eat it. And He said, don't let nothing remain. You're going to need it. Why are you going to need it? I'll tell you why. Because you're going to gird up your loins. That means, in those days, what they do, I ain't got news for you. Some fellas say, well, all ladies all wear dresses. You got news for you. In Bible time, every man wore a dress. Unless you were a priest or a preacher, you got to wear breeches. Amen. And people say, man ought to wear what pertains to a man. Okay, the rest of you wear dresses then. And I'm going to keep wearing breeches. That's my thought. That's pretty sound Bible preaching, okay? It was distinctive. I believe a man ought to look like a man and a woman ought to look like a woman. Amen. I shouldn't look over here and say, man, is Rodney a girl or a guy? Huh? Amen. There ain't no chance of that, right? But I have seen some fellas awful pretty. Where'd I get to? Amen. I done forgot. And look here, in the Word of God. Listen, you are to consume, you're to gird up your loins. That's what we're talking about. You know what that meant? That meant you got ready. You pull that thing up high, tighten your belt. That means you're ready to go. Amen. You gird your loins. And so, knowing that, he says, you're to take this staff in hand. That meant, listen, they're pilgrims. They're getting ready to go on a journey. And he said, you're to put shoes on your feet. That meant after you consumed it, you're ready to go. Now we see it here. It was roasted with fire. It tasted the judgment and it speaks of the judgment of the cross. It was made with unleavened bread. They could eat unleavened bread. It pictured the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were to fix it with bitter herbs. That tells us of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. But often when we see here, there's two things that jumps out of us. Number one, we read this, we're saved by the blood. Listen to this. But we saved by the power of the Lamb of God. Amen. Are we served by the power of the body of the Lamb? Let me tell you something. I want you to understand, I believe this is the Word of God. Amen. And if you want to serve God, live for God, you need to be consuming this mentally, amen, and spiritually. They're getting in to the Word of God. Jesus is the living Word. This is the written Word. And if we want strength for service, the ability to do anything for God, if we want to be able to run for God, gird up our loins, and grab our staff and be a pilgrim here on the earth and have our feet ready to go in service for the Lord, we need the power of the Lamb of God in our life. And the only way we can do that is to read this blessed old book. And I say to you, dear friends, we look here, and there's two things. It says the blood of the Lamb for salvation and the body of the Lamb for service. The Lamb of God was a single Lamb. One Lamb spoken of out there. It was a special Lamb. There could be no flaws. It had to be one of the first year. It had to be in its prime. But let me tell you something. This Lamb wasn't to be one that was to be observed or looked upon and admired. This was to be a slain Lamb. And ultimately a saving Lamb. Let me tell you, there's only one Lamb that can save you from sin. He certainly was a special Lamb. He was God's only Son. He was unique in every facet and every manner of His life. He didn't come to be a teacher, though He was. He came to be a sacrifice. He came to be a slain Lamb. And it's that Lamb. And He is the only Lamb that can save us from our sins. I like Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. Turn there with me. I'm almost done. Revelation chapter 7. The Bible says, after this, behold, a great multitude which no man can number of all nations, kindreds, and peoples, tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. John says, He cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And the angels stood around about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and they fell before the throne, their faces in worship, saying, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor, power and might be to our God forever and ever. And one of the elders answered unto me, saying, what are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun or light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living waters. And God shall wipe all tears away from their eyes. Let me just tell you something. There's only one that can save us. In any era in history, whether in past, present, or future, there's only one. And it's by the Lamb of God. And so I say to you, Exodus chapter number 12 stands before us today as a monumentous occasion. Because it was more than just about the deliverance of the Egyptians out of bondage. It's about our eternal deliverance from sin. We have a God that's able to save this morning. And if you're here and you're not saved, and the Spirit of God speaks to you, I invite you to come. Repent and believe the gospel. And I promise you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's that simple. You can be saved. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity to preach this morning. I don't want to overcomplicate it. I don't want to mess it up. And God, I don't believe I can mess it up. If someone gets under conviction, they can come and they can be saved. Because I've done what I need to do. I pointed them to the Lamb of God. Jesus died for us. This Lamb died for their deliverance. But the Lamb of God, He died that we might have deliverance from our bondage. If there's someone here bound in sin, someone that's maybe they feel captive to fear today, and they're hindered, may they see Jesus Christ for who He is. Bless this time of invitation by Your power. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.